910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Continued protests in Israel triggered by the murder of those six hostages in Gaza whose bodies were retrieved over the weekend. ABC's Marcus Moore has the latest from Tel Aviv.
In the crowd, six symbolic coffins carried representing the six who were killed.
Demonstrators have just breached a barrier that the security service tried to set up, which is just a few hundred feet from Prime Minister Netanyahu's home.
And steadfast on their insistence for a ceasefire deal, Hamas now warning against further military rescue missions from Israel, saying hostages will return, quote, inside coffins.
Pope Francis has arrived in Indonesia at the start of his longest trip as Pope. He will also visit Papua New Guinea, East Timor, and Singapore. Thousands of unionized hotel workers remain off the job. They are striking several major hotel chains in at least eight cities. The employees, from housekeepers to front desk operators, want more money and for their employers to address understaffing. This is ABC News. One person is dead, two are still missing after an accident on the Connecticut River. The Coast Guard says nine people were on a boat that hit a break wall. A new law in Texas that's supposed to help protect children online is now on hold.
Among other things, House Bill 18 blocks underage users' online access to content on suicide, substance abuse, and grooming. Republican Todd Hunter was a co-sponsor.
Everybody now stalks you online, and it's an unfortunate day, but you know, this is the technology they use.
But federal judge Robert Pittman says politically charged terms like grooming are simply too vague, and he's put that part of the statute on hold. But social media companies are now prohibited from collecting data on underage users. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Some American history up for auction in Great Britain. A coin designed by Benjamin Franklin and dating back to 1776 is expected to sell for thousands. A British auction house found it under some jewelry in a coffee tin. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the dangers of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. Six different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
Milwaukee's leading the pack. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers have a 10-game lead in the division after Labor Day thanks to a 9-3 win over the Cardinals yesterday. Jackson Chourio hit a grand slam to help Milwaukee get the victory. The Brewers and Cardinals play Game 2 of their series tonight. The NFL season kicks off on Thursday with the Chiefs and Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. It's the first time that an NFL game will be played in that country. Quarterback Jordan Love said coaches have been preparing players for the trip.
I mean, it's just a lot of unknowns that kind of, it's one of those things, like I said, it's out of our control. So, you know, just trying to focus on everything I can do to get myself prepared for the game, for the defense we're going to see in the game plan. And then, obviously, once we get out there, hopefully we go by the stadium, kind of get a feel for the layout, field, everything, and then just play it by ear. But a lot of stuff that's out of our control.
Kickoff between the Packers and Eagles will be after 7 p.m. Friday night. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media Thursday and Friday. And with sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll get to 78 this afternoon. The wind south at 15 to 20, gusting to 25. Tonight clear with a low of 55. Tomorrow sunshine, still breezy with a high of 79 with some showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow night into Thursday, cooler and fall-like by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Because you wouldn't pre-record something with a voice like this. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network for this Tuesday morning, September 3rd, 2024. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Not all of us did. Some of us were fighting a head cold all the way through. Spent the first part of it all stuffy and sniffling, and then came the coughing, and then came the really sore throat. But we're getting past it. We're now in the sounds bad, feels good phase of everything here. But hey, as long as I got people like meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk for the next, you know, 7-8 minutes, I will be just fine. I'll get through all this. Brittany, how was your holiday weekend?
Oh, it was all right. A little bit better than yours. I'm sorry, Pat. I got you. I'll continue to talk for you.
I hate when that
happens on a holiday.
I know. It's like, well, and maybe on some other weekends, I'd be like, maybe I'll just, you know, not do the show today. I'll find somebody to fill in or whatever. But when you've already had a 5-day weekend, it looks a little indulgent. So Rob says, take care, Pat. Drink plenty of fluids. He says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, 51 degrees. I had a great weekend mowing job Saturday. Then my cousins from Minnesota came up and had a homemade pizza at my sister Debbie's house in Tigerton. Sunday was my family reunion. Had a great time visiting with my layman cousins. Spent Monday enjoying nature, something Brittany always told me to enjoy nature. So thank
sure
you,
did.
Rob. Yeah, appreciate that. And also, it being the day after Labor Day, let us bring back the bus stop weather here. 7 a.m. temperatures include 52 up here in Chippewa Falls, 55 in Hayward, 49 in Park Falls, 50 in Wausau right now, Green Bay 51, La Crosse 54, 51 in Rapids, 57 in Oshkosh, 54 in Madison, Waukesha 50. And Brittany, it's so nice to see 0% on the precipitation chances for a couple of days in a row. I might finally get to drop the top on the Jeep for a day or two, maybe.
You definitely can. At least through Wednesday, you can take that top off, enjoy it. It's going to be gorgeous weather. We still have a big high-pressure system that isn't even sitting over us anymore. It has now moved off to Indiana, kind of over into the Pennsylvania area, but it is so strong that it's going to hold our sunshine, like I said, through Wednesday. Now, some clouds are going to start to push in on Thursday, and we are looking at rain chances as a front moves in. And after that moves in, I'm telling you, we are going to really be feeling like fall by the time Friday hits and into this weekend. It's going to be even cooler than this past Labor Day. So we do have a warm-up out ahead of that. Highs today will be into the mid-70s, abundant sunshine, a little south breeze. It will start to pick up, especially this evening and into tomorrow. And for tomorrow, we will still hit highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. So a little warm up before we crash back down for the weekend.
Which is okay compared to, I guess, there were some really strong storms heading into the weekend last weekend. I recall about the time we got to our friend's place in Saskatchewan, we're looking at the radar going, oh, look what we missed on late Thursday.
Yeah, tornado warnings just west of Eau Claire, some heavy, heavy damage with those winds and hail. I think your rainfall rates was anywhere from 2 to 3 inches, too. So
wow.
It was a wild night.
We noticed, coming back from the airport yesterday, we noticed still some tree branches down in places and thought, okay, well, it could have been a lot worse. Thank goodness it wasn't. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Feel better, Pat.
I hope so. Again, so feeling better than I sound at this point, which is always a good development at this point in things. But it does remind me as well that sometime this fall, the new COVID vaccine booster will be out along with your flu shots. I think having just turned 60, Sherry was like, yeah, I think maybe you should get that RSV shot too or something. So there will definitely be some injections. I needed my passport over the weekend, of course, heading up to Canada. Open that up, still have my COVID vaccination card is in there. Remember having to fill that in all handwritten. But here's the other thing. Along with my passport is my global entry card. And I have been a staunch advocate for global entry, because then you get something called TSA PreCheck. And if you have flown enough that you know the difference between the length of the security line, if you have TSA PreCheck and you don't, Greg, I mean, some of these airports, the difference is immense, and that you want that TSA PreCheck. It's a bit of a chore. You have to fill out a form. You have to pay a fee. If it's your first time, you have to actually go in for a very quick interview with the TSA folks. But after that, you get to be in that much, much shorter line. I'm a big, big fan of Global Entry since I applied for it 10 years and 6 months ago. I didn't get to enjoy it over the weekend because it was, as I was on my way to the airport, I looked at my Global Entry card. I'm like, oh, this thing is good for 10 years. I applied for it 10 years and 6 months ago. It expired on my birthday, and I did not even think about it. I thought, did they notify me? And I go looking back through the email, and there actually was an email that said your global entry is about to expire, but it was so generic. It was such a generic-looking email. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, a phishing thing. I thought it was junk or something. Completely disregarded it. And so Sherry hasn't had her birthday yet this year. So she just sails right on through the other line and just kind of looking at me like, ha, 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 I'm over here. Maybe you should reapply. So I did.
The thing is so generic. It looks like an Eric Hovde ad.
Thank you.
I just got TSA PreCheck this year. And it was honestly, they didn't even bring me in for a quote unquote interview. I went in there. I signed a piece of paper and then I gave him my fingerprints. It was really very simple. And we have something called Clear, which allows us to check in and get to the front of the line to get into the check line. So now I have Clear and TSA PreCheck, which means I don't have to take my shoes off ever again.
No, nope. And again, for me, learning at the last minute that mine had expired, it meant lugging the laptop out, shoes, belt, you know, the whole ball of wax. And that was enough to remind me not to let that happen again.
Yeah.
The daily newsletter from Up North News is out. You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you do so, you'll get stories like, today, Christina Lori has a story in there about how there has been a crusade for years by Republicans to funnel tax dollars away from public schools and into school vouchers that parents can use for mostly religious private schools. A big increase in taxpayer dollars last year going to those voucher schools. You can read more about that. There's also a link to last weekend's discussion about the Wisconsin cranberry crop. So again, sign up for our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. So yeah, for folks who missed it in the last hour, we flew up to Saskatchewan where we met up with some friends that we'd actually made in the Caribbean when we lived there, you know, a decade ago. And they have since moved to Canada, where she was from. And so we got to, see the areas around Regina and Moose Jaw. And Greg, I don't think I've mentioned this before, but in Moose Jaw in Saskatchewan, there is a bar. Its claim to fame is that it was a speakeasy and that there were tunnels there. And do you know who used to set up shop there, allegedly?
Who?
Oh, that would be Al Capone, of course.
I feel like Al Capone, it's like Tornado Alley. If you live like in a yes. distance around Chicago, they're like, well, Al Capone used to come here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He loved our cherry popovers.
When did he get anything done in Chicago with all the places that he was, allegedly? Right. But anyway, Moose Jaw itself is adorable. Regina's lovely. Here's a fun fact about Regina. Regina and Madison are both the capital cities of their respective province and state, and both were built on graft. Both were built on basically a real estate scam where somebody was going to benefit if that area was developed. The isthmus was very swampy, between the two lakes and everything. And I forget exactly which guy it was. I don't remember if it was Doty or somebody else. But they basically stood to make a lot of money if the state capital were located there. The exact same thing with Regina. The capital is supposed to be someplace like next to a river, centrally located. Regina was in the middle of nowhere. But the guy who was running, I don't know, the Canadian Mounties or whatever it was at the time, stood to gain, and he influenced it in a way that they ended up putting the capital city there. Who'd have thought graft and corruption would be a part of capital city politics?
Well,
It
almost sounds too somewhat like the history of D.C. itself, because when they were like, should it be in Philadelphia or New York? Someone said, I have an idea.
Yes.
What about a swampy swampland that feels like you're south of hell in August of summertime?
We'll never know, because you'd have to be in the room where it happens. The room where it happens.
Hamilton reference.
Suddenly a musical broke out. Coming up in a moment here, we're going to play. Oh, there goes the voice. See, it's almost time for a commercial break, right? Coming up after a commercial break and a big gulp of throat coat tea that Greg Bach so kindly suggested I get, we will be hearing from Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, and Kamala Harris's running mate, who is in Milwaukee at Labor Fest, doing Tim Walz things. Meaning he was funny, he was personable, and he was making perfect sense. And contrast that with what Donald Trump and J.D. Vance said yesterday on Labor Day, which was nothing. Nothing. They didn't campaign on Labor Day, which is just really, really tells you something right there. The Brewers, meanwhile, they played St. Louis yesterday as part of a homestand on Labor Day. Willy Adames hit his 29th homer on his 29th birthday, a first inning blast. It was a 3-run homer, which gives him 13 on the year. 13 3-run homers. That's only been done one other time in baseball. Ken Griffey Jr. in 1996. And Willy Adames still has 20 more games left in the season where he could break that record. And then there was a Jackson Churio Grand Slam. It was his 18th home run of the season for the rookie. He's already got more than 20 stolen bases. If he gets to 20 home runs to join the so-called 2020 club, he'll be the youngest ever to do it, and do it while he's still 20 years old. They play again tonight at 6:40, and then again on Wednesday. They have Thursday off. Colorado comes to town for the weekend series. And Friday's game has now been moved to 5:10, because the Packers open up their season Friday night as well. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Dum, 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 ba-doo-ba, dum, 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 dum.
This would be the Beach Boys. Al Jardine on the lead vocals there. It's his birthday today. Just about 7:21 on Up North News Radio. And I was trying to think during the commercial break how funny it would have been if Greg had like given me some kind of a note or something going, oh, we can't go to commercial. Can you talk for another 12 minutes or something like that?
Every host is called in sick today, Pat. You're doing 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
And the computers are broken. There will be no commercial breaks either. So this would be a good time to tell you the phone number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. And again, you can text that as well. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us what questions you might have. Tell us your own personal therapies for a sore throat, for somebody who finally feels better, but whose throat has not caught up yet. But we will get there shortly. We were talking in last hour, I think it was, about J.D. Vance and some more of just the, do you call them dumb quotes or do you call them ugly? Just the ways in which he clearly has an issue with women and with accomplished women. There was a 2021 podcast episode that has come to the fore. And September of 2021, when he says that women who choose to go into professions, professional women, quote, choose a path to misery when they prioritize careers over having children. Hey, pal, let me tell you, all of us who choose professional careers choose a path to misery. Welcome to the work world. But I think he means it in a different way. Especially when he claims that men in America have been, quote, suppressed in their masculinity.
I have.
This one gets me every time. And it's time for Pat's usual rant about toxic masculinity. The number of American men who believe that their identity is entirely wrapped up in old school masculinity, and that if they are not in control, then therefore they are not real men, has been a real threat to our politics. Frankly, it's a threat to our democracy. It's always been a threat to women, especially strong women, who actually want to, you know, have their own voice, their own careers, make their own decisions. And yet everything we read about J.D. Vance, everything that he says, is he the walking definition of toxic masculinity. This is where, remember how he blasted a teachers union president for not, quote, having some of her own children? Because apparently if you don't have children, you can't be a good, you know, teacher. We already know what he's had to say about childless cat ladies. And he also likes to, in this interview, talk about how it's the left that uses race as a cudgel. And again, apparently, Greg, the way that we're using race as a cudgel is by calling out racism, That's one of my favorites, that by calling out racism or calling out racist comments, you're the one being divisive by calling it out. I can't say that I buy that.
Well, Pat, you know, racism never existed until liberals started talking about racism in America. So really, liberals are to blame for racism in America because, you know, before, I don't know, 4 years ago, five, 10, 20, I don't know. It was perfect. It was fine. There was nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong at all.
Vance talking about how institutions, educational institutions that he views as corrupt, he says what they don't realize, and I think some of them do eventually realize, is that they're on a path to misery, women who choose professional careers. The corruption is it puts people on a career pipeline that causes them to chase things to make them unhappy. And they project that misery and unhappiness on society. And he refers to, he uses an alt-right term, soy boys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he talks about how his young son would fight off imaginary monsters. And J.D. Vance says, there is something deeply cultural and biologically spiritual about this desire to defend his home and his family. No, your son is not defending your home and family. You're fighting an imaginary monster. But he goes on to say, if the Chinese invade us in 10 years, they're going to be beaten back by boys like my son who practice fighting the monsters, who become proud men defending their homes. They're not going to be defended by the soy boys who want to feed the monsters.
I don't, what are you even talking? First of all, your son in 10 years, I think he'll probably be like, what, like 15 years old? And also, yeah. I fought in my bedroom too against fake. Do you think I can? No, that's not how that works. I just don't get this. Like, they are so they could just simply say, hey, Kamala's a tax and spender, Joe Biden's a tax and spender. They have so many ways to do this, but instead they talk in nonsense, absolute nonsense.
Well, again, the kind of thing that I mean, these are the ones who are overcompensating, you know, the ones who don't actually need you know, a monster truck for going to their office job every day, but get one anyway.
Yeah.
Alicia Saunders writes in, anytime we try to hold toxic masculinity responsible, we, she means women, are degraded and told we are feminizing men. I am reading the book right now about the history of the Situation Room in the White House.
Yeah.
And George Stephanopoulos is at the part where Madeleine Albright becomes Secretary of State. And what it was like still in the 90s for women to try to speak up, even after they had been invited into the room where it happens, the room where it happens, the room where it happens, to make these decisions, and the men are talking all over them. And it's because of creeps like this guy, J.D. Vance, who then goes on in this recording to mock all the claims of Afghan refugees who helped the U.S. military, saying, apparently, Afghanistan is a country of translators and interpreters because every single person that's coming in, that's what they say, that this person is a translator and an interpreter. And but then he goes on to say, you know, a lot of those interpreters were helping us, but also actively helping terrorists plant roadside bombs, knowing what our roots were. I mean, does it get any more insulting than that?
I want to put J.D. Vance in a room with one of these individuals, and I'm like, all right, say that to their face. Tell them what you just said out in public, that this person who risked their life to help the U.S. No, they were also like, you know, they're planting bombs. And No.
And so when he wasn't calling out the Afghan refugees, he was calling out ones from Somalia, talking about Minneapolis, saying, you know, what you don't want is people getting hatcheted in the street in downtown Minneapolis, because that's apparently, he thinks, is a thing there. And it gets back to our conversation about being in Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago, Chicago 2 weeks ago for the convention. Our cities are vibrant and wonderful. They are cities, and so there are more people, and bad things can happen.
But again, this whole notion of blaming it on people that don't look like you and using that as a campaign weapon, as well as raging against women, might explain why you're having such a tough time and thought maybe you should lay low.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. EverAg joins us next with an explanation on why dairy producers have seen price support in the last few weeks.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
The Class 3 milk and cheese prices have seen fireworks in the past couple of weeks. EverAg's Vice President of Producer Services, Ryan Yonkman, says this is due to bullish buying events. Among other things, he says demand hasn't necessarily been great this year, but it has been better than expected.
I think there was a lot of expectations around poor demand, and I'd say a lot of poor demand ended up being okay demand. And you're doing that on the backside of what was really record exports through Q2, when we can all remember milk was not $23, but it was more like $15. So that time there definitely helped us clear some product and cleared it into a market where I think milk continues to surprise the industry, not only domestically but globally, and that U.S. milk production remains negative and likely to stay there for a while.
Ryan Yonkman is the Vice President of Producer Services with EverAg. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production,
so they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
The State Department of Health Services has confirmed that two Wisconsinites have died and another was hospitalized because of the West Nile virus. The first three human cases of West Nile virus in Wisconsin were in residents of Outagamie, Fond du Lac, and Brown counties. The best way to protect yourself is to prevent mosquito bites, according to the department. Mosquito activity and the risk of infection of West Nile virus will continue into the fall until there's a hard frost. A hard frost is when temperatures fall below 28 degrees for at least 4 hours. Until then, wear bug spray and make sure to get rid of any standing water lying around your house. Mosquitoes only need a bottle cap full of water to lay hundreds of eggs. We have a full tip sheet at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's a look at your agribusiness news on a Tuesday. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll get to 78 this afternoon. The wind south at 15 to 20, gusting to 25. Tonight clear with a low of 55. Tomorrow sunshine, still breezy with a high of 79 with some showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow night into Thursday, cooler and fall-like by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 51.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Funk Railroad lead singer, drummer, founder, Don Brewer, is 76 years old today. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, where we have great listeners. Greg from Facebook, Pat, about your voice. When I was younger and in broadcasting and working 12-hour shifts on the air on weekends with a voice like yours, I drank water by the gallon. Granted, there was a top-of-the-hour NBC newscast, and I talked between records and read some live commercials, but nothing like performing a live talk show. Oh, by the way, he says, for lunch, cold pizza during network news, the kind you can still buy in the grocery stores. Radio paid so well back then. I hope your voice heals, Pat. Thank you very much. And Tony, I hold up for Greg a Ziploc bag with some cold pizza. So apparently if cold pizza is the cure, Tony, wow. 801, this is going into the air fryer, and I'm on the road to health.
Then it's right not there. Cold pizza anymore. It's air fried hot pizza.
Well, okay. I guess I could eat it cold. I just thought he meant leftover pizza. So, okay. I'll eat it cold. I might even do it during the break. Just like yeah. Greg tell you about the Brewer game.
Brewers are great.
Yeah, Brewers are great.
J.D. Yep, Vance is an idiot.
Yeah. Tony writes in on YouTube, Pat, I say lean into the new voice and become Batman.
I'm Batman. No, you are not.
No, nobody's gonna confuse me for Batman. Let's talk about Tim Walz for a moment, appearing at Milwaukee Labor Fest, because as many people commented about Tim Walz's remarks, he's really good at this. Mm. And it's not that you don't take a class to be good at this politics thing, this empathy thing, this being a decent human thing. That's not something that you teach. It's something that you are, that your life experiences have made you a good person, as opposed to how we described J.D. Vance in the last segment, in which, and again, I read Hillbilly Elegy back in the day. I don't have a lot to say. I don't see a lot of redeeming value. Whereas compare, as Tony says on YouTube, Walz's enthusiasm is infectious. Let's play two clips from Tim Walz. Let's play the first one, again, talking in Milwaukee on Labor Day.
This guy has made it clear how he stands. He's sitting down at Mar-a-Lago after he got elected president, and this was his exact quote. He's talking to a bunch of folks at Mar-a-Lago. You're rich as hell, and we're going to give you a tax cut. At the same time, he was telling workers they get paid too much already. That's who this guy is. You tell me who in Wisconsin is sitting around saying, damn, I wish they'd give billionaires tax cuts and screw me over. Damn, I wish they'd take my health care away. I wish they'd underfund my public school. I wish they would make my job more difficult, more dangerous. And then at the end of the day, I wish they'd make me work till I'm 75 years old. No one's saying that. No one's asking for that agenda. What they're asking for is to be treated fairly with dignity. That's what we have.
That's about as good as it gets. And he noted that, again, Democrats are getting better at returning to their roots and stop being afraid to note that it's union labor that's good for the middle class and it's unions that are good to American workers. Tim Walz has been a union teacher, and he has no problem sharing that label with others.
I can remember, and this was one, Republicans came up to me in one of my campaigns, and they said, Tim is in the pocket of organized labor. I said, that's a damn lie. I am the pocket. I am the pocket. And I told them, if you want to attack me for standing up for collective bargaining, for fair wages, for safe working conditions, for health care and retirement, you roll the damn dice. I'll take my chances on that. I'll take my chances.
So there's Tim Walz, you know, saying exactly how he feels about Labor Day and workers, speaking at Labor Fest, something that has been no stranger to presidents and candidates. Joe Biden spoke there 2 years ago. Barack Obama spoke there three times as a candidate in 2008, as president in 2010, as president in 2014. Bill Clinton spoke there in 1996. And the funny thing is, I mean, for reaction, you have to go to, you know, the state Republican Party chair, Brian Schimming, who's quoted in the Journal Sentinel as saying, quote, "While Democrats talk a big game, Republicans have a proven record of delivering real results for Wisconsin workers." Brian, could you be more specific? Actually, could you be specific at all? Tell us what you delivered in terms of real results for Wisconsin workers. 855-75-CIVIC. By all means.
I'll take a call.
Tell us.
I'll put you right on the air.
Yep. Greg, you were at Laborfest in 2008.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the energy. And this yesterday on Matinee on Air, we ran, it was all interviews with labor people who are in labor, part of labor, have a history. Talked to Darren Von Ruden, but we also spoke with my friend Kristen and Angela Lang as well. And I mentioned to them as something you just said here, Pat, is that it feels like that the unions, the labor movement has gotten more momentum and more of a positive outlook from the American people. Like there was a time when you didn't want to, like there was, don't mention the unions. It's got a bad reputation for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the groundswell of support now of union and union work has really grown, and it's beautiful to see.
Well, what happens is you oftentimes don't appreciate something till it's gone or threatened. Everybody thought, oh, they'll never repeal Roe v. Wade. You know, our reproductive health rights, they'll be fine, until they weren't.
Yeah.
And the same goes for, oh, you know, unions have this reputation. I'll find it my job, until you're not. And next thing you know, you are suffering in a way that if you're in a union, you end up going on strike. And Joe Biden became the first sitting president to walk a picket line. That's how the perception has changed on union labor. Yeah. And again, I can't help but note that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance put up, you know, some perfunctory social media posts, but literally that's it. And they have nothing else to offer. You know what they have to offer? Takes us to one more topic for the day. Here's what they have to offer: a government shutdown.
Mm.
That's right, kids. It's looming again, because all those times we talked about a potential government shutdown, and then they always pass another stopgap eventually. Guess what month it is? It's September, and the latest stopgap measure will expire at the end of this month, and we will face a government shutdown. Will there be a bipartisan deal to get this done? Only if Republicans get their way. And the most recent thing that they're now demanding is a measure that would make it illegal for non-citizens to vote in elections.
I mean,
Greg, do you know the current status of non-citizens voting in federal elections?
Zero.
It already exists. It already exists.
I mean, oh, I thought you meant the amount of, I thought, I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question. I mean, it's just so confusing. It's that thing like, oh yeah, well, we have to make it so that illegal immigrants can't vote in elections. You're like, okay, press yes then, please. It's just ridiculous. And I want to go back to something really quick you said about Brian Schimming, who has done a great job of talking out of both sides of his face on Twitter and in the press. Whenever I think of Republicans making it easier for working people, I just think of that conversation that Scott Walker had in 2010 with what's her... it's escaping right
Diane
now.
Diane Hendricks.
There it is. Talking about how they were going to crush the unions and make it right to work. That's what they did to help the working people of Wisconsin. They really good job, Wisconsin GOP. By the way, do you believe that voting early is fake or not this week? Tell me what you think.
They can't, because it goes both ways. And so you're going to notice much more of this insistence, because it's also going to be on the ballot in Wisconsin as a proposed constitutional amendment. Why? Because again, all we've got, we read these earlier. I got two mail pieces over the weekend from Americans for Prosperity, all about Eric Hovde. And again, it's all about securing the border and keeping out those people And we hear a lot about those people. And now those people are voting. And you had Donald Trump talking again about immigrants poisoning the blood of our culture over the weekend at a Moms for Liberty event. The issue of non-citizen voting isn't really an issue, except that it's being brought up by Republicans. It's part of being wrapped around a larger GOP strategy, which isn't, again, it's not really a strategy unless you consider bigotry to be a strategy. Because crime is coming down, and yet all you hear about is crime and apparently immigrant crime. And now you're hearing all about immigrant voting, which is already banned in federal elections. And frankly, the numbers aren't there. Because ask yourself, if you're here and you don't have citizenship, are you going to be the one that says, well, 150 million people are voting in this presidential election, and I'm going to too, running the risk of arrest or deportation? Okay. Which folks who are undocumented immigrants are going to vote when they know they shouldn't vote or are not eligible to vote? It's not a problem that's there. Now, there are areas, to be clear, there are places where non-citizens can vote and where the people in those local areas have agreed that that's the right thing to do in a local election. For example, there are places where non-citizens can vote for school board. Their kids go to school there. They'd like a say in their child's education. They pay taxes. If they get a paycheck, if they have Social Security taken out, for example, they're never going to get that unless they become citizens. They're already paying plenty of taxes in. They're paying sales taxes on purchases and things like that. And so there are some local levels of government that have said that non-citizens can vote in these elections, but they cannot vote in presidential or federal elections. It's only there because, again, the strategy is that if we let these people whose skin color is darker than ours, if we give them more power, it will hurt us, apparently. And so we need you to make them think, we need you to think that they are committing crimes and that they are voting in such numbers as to dilute your vote when there is nothing that indicates that whatsoever. And so not only are they trying to scare you about non-citizens voting, they're trying to scare you that fellow citizens who are Democrats are voting, which is why you're seeing in states like Georgia, groups that are trying to once again purge the voter files. You saw that effort in Wisconsin recently, again, between the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and other groups looking to have people stricken from the voter rolls without evidence that they are no longer eligible to vote, and where there is already a process to clean up the voter files as people move away or pass away. And in all of that that I just said, in all of that about non-citizens voting, about being against immigrants, about scaring people about crime, about cleaning up the voter rolls, all these things Republicans and right-wing groups are doing, anywhere in all of that, did you hear any ideas about how to improve your life? Did you hear any ideas about how to grow jobs, invest in the infrastructure, make college more affordable, make healthcare more affordable? You did not, because when you can't win on your ideas, you scare people or you cheat. Chad Holmes is coming up next. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Chad Holmes sneaking in under the wire. Thought you were going to get a note this week, buddy. How are you?
I didn't have the link this week. I double and triple checked it. I didn't have it this week.
Neither did Brittany, Pat.
Oh, Pat. Well,
I was making sure you it wasn't me.
I want to go back to something. Pat, you made a comment at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, something about the fact that you had a bunch of days off from work, and it would look weird that if you had another day off, because but you are sick. If you're not feeling well, no one's going to begrudge you not feeling well. It's okay.
I would begrudge me.
That's not my problem. I don't begrudge.
I know.
It's horrible. People, I don't think people realize when you talk for a living, and it's sort of like Usain Bolt having a pulled hamstring. It's just, yes, you can't perform, and it's and I feel for you. I've been there, especially with when you have a sports broadcast. I mean, I remember one night, and we have a couple of times a year where we have basketball doubleheaders, and it happened to be one of those nights where by the second game, I had no voice, and I still cringe. It was frankly embarrassing by the time we got done, because, I mean, no matter what I did at that point, because you have to talk all the time, there's no breaks except for maybe a 30-second break here and there. But, no, I think that, you know, you're fighting it out, and hopefully we can get through the last few minutes here and get you out of here.
Well, here, I wish you'd mention that Brittany didn't have the link. I would have at least gotten it to Chad here. But the thing is, what I need Greg to do every so often is he needs to just send a note saying, Pat, at the top of your show notes every day is a checklist. Follow the checklist. It says, do you have the date right? Did you create a link? Did you send the link? Did you write a show title and description? Did you do this day in history? Did you pick your bumper music? And some days I get so busy, I don't look at the checklist. Can you imagine if a pilot said, I'm busy. Let's just get this thing going, pal. I should do better. Greg, send me more notes saying, check your checklist.
I will do that, my friend. I will do that.
Oh, man. Enough self-regulation here. Come on.
Whoa. I hope he said that right. I'm not quite sure.
I don't think I did. But
how was your holiday weekend?
It was great, actually. It was just a gorgeous weekend here. Yesterday was the Wausau Labor Day Parade, and I ran into the mayor of Wausau, and I said, well, this was a Chamber of Commerce weekend, because I don't think you're going to have three more perfect days than we had. And then yesterday, the parade, it was a wonderful event. I think it was the best crowd that I've seen in all the years I've been announcing. I've been doing this for quite a while. So it was fantastic. It was great to see a few of the folks around yesterday. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you couldn't have asked for a much better weekend here in central Wisconsin.
No, it was gorgeous. I mean, did you do anything indulgent at all? Do you have a hammock or anything?
Well, Saturday I had a football game, so that kind of was the whole afternoon, you know. And then Sunday I just sort of laid around.
Okay.
And then Monday I went to the parade. So, I mean, it was like I was more than happy. And actually, my big project was my kitchen was getting to the point where it was kind of being embarrassing. So I just said, well, let's get out the grease cleaner and go around the stove. So a very exciting weekend for myself. So people, you know, it's all glory, you know, in the broadcast business here. So no, it was a very, very calm weekend. I'll say that much.
I discovered my next hammock. So I was at this house my friends have up in Regina, in Saskatchewan. They've dug a, you know, they created a man-made lake, about 100 yards long, about 30 yards wide, and they've got a pulley system on it, or a winch, or whatever, a cable system, and so you can really get. I didn't do this, but you can really get going on a wakeboard or a tube or anything like that, and it'd pull people back and forth. Looked like a lot of fun, but they also put in a bunch of sand and created a beach on there, some beach chairs, campfire. But they also had a hammock. And I know these aren't new, but I've never been in one of those hammocks. All of our hammocks have been like the traditional cargo net type thing. And this was one of those where you basically fall into it, and it's like a pea pod. And some of them you can zip up. This one did not. But you can still pretty much cover yourself up in this like pea pod type of hammock. And the next thing I remember is Sherry and our friends James and Kim going, wow, you are really out. Because I'd been up sick most of the night before, and apparently I snored all through the afternoon.
I remember as a kid watching Gilligan's Island and thinking I would never be able to stay in those hammocks because he had Gilligan on top and then Skipper right below.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I'm thinking I would never be able to get into the hammock. I'd never be able to get out of the hammock without, you know, falling on the ground because I know myself. I'm not very talented with that kind of stuff.
I will say, yes, my getting out of it the first time was entertaining, not to me, to everybody else that was watching. It was very entertaining, but it's just such a nice, you know, being up there. It was our second visit to Saskatchewan up there on the prairie, and it really is nice. I don't begrudge them one bit, but forgive the Dorothy reference, but man, there is no place like home. Got home last night, and you said it was a picture perfect weekend. We're sitting there, we're looking out on Lake Wissota, and just, you know, sometimes not fully appreciating how damn gorgeous it is up here sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. But did you buy any Saskatchewan Rough Rider gear and bring it back?
Their big game was, while we were there, their big rivalry game with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And it was a big deal. Here, you know about the 50-50 sports raffles at these big events, and that jackpot can get to be really big. Well, the one for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders of the Canadian Football League, their 50-50 raffle. Anybody who lives in the province, you don't have to be at the game. You can join online with your credit card. You make a donation to whatever the cause is, and you're in. So I remember being at a Brewer game a couple weeks back, and the jackpot, I think, was, what was it, $50,000 maybe? I don't know. This was $500,000. I know. So
basically, it didn't matter if the Rough Riders won. Somebody was going to be a big.
Somebody was going to win. But yeah, it was. There were all these folks in Winnipeg gear around town. And much like with the Packers, when the other team comes in, everybody's nice about it. You know, you don't have to be jerks to opposing fans.
No, not at all.
You know,
frankly, it's like one reason I haven't gone to a Packer game in a long time. It's just, it's too much for me. I'll sit home and watch in front of the TV.
The non-confrontational Chad Holmes.
Exactly.
He has his show next on Bull Falls Radio, and Mr. Bach, and nothing but the dulcet tones of Mr. Bach coming up at 10 a.m.
Yes.
I'm going to go have some of this cold pizza right now and say thank you to today's guest, Christina Laurie, and Chad Holmes, and all of you for putting up with all of this. I'm going to take a 22-hour break from talking, and we'll see how things look at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.